You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing cancer in the African American community. April is National Minority Health Month, and we are here to talk about it live with our guests, health advocate Shay Traylor, health advocate Monica Ponder, and April Belgrave, study monitor for Georgia CORE, the Center for Oncology and Research and Education. And you need to be in on this conversation about cancer in the African American community. Call us with your questions, comments at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. You may also tweet your question if that's easier. We're on Twitter at CCRTD. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, Your Health Connection, focusing on cancer in the African American community. April, you're over there at Georgia CORE, and you're a center that's studying, researching oncology, and you're educating out in the community, educating doctors, all of us regular folks. What are some of the most familiar or the cancers you see the most of in the African American community?
So Shay touched on that earlier. So in our communities, for males, it's obviously prostate. Cancer, mm-hmm. And that's a big one. And again, it's about late treatment. It's about not going to get those tests. And then I think there's a misconception, because even within my own home, my husband just turned 40 mm-hmm. this year, and he needs to go and get prostate. It's been a source of contention. Mm-hmm. And of course, he doesn't want the rectal exam. But also at this point, to get a baseline that's not necessarily needed, you right. can do blood work and get your PSA. And so I think we need to, if people know more about the testing, like what's involved.
It'll dispel the fears.
Correct.
And is it the fear that's jumping up and keeping us as a community, as an African-American community, when it comes to cancer? It's such a scary word. Is the fear a major factor?
I think fear is a factor. But then also he's just like, I don't want anyone. It's like a feeling of like violation of privacy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's like, no, I'm not going to have someone do that. But that's not necessarily the only alternative, the only option
right.
to get the testing. So prostate for men, and for women, breast cancer is the highest cancer that we see in our community. And in African-American women, there's something called triple negative breast cancer, which is a more aggressive form of cancer. There are less treatment options available, but it affects us the most.
Is there any reason why that is happening? Do you know?
So lots of studies and data out there that shows it's, a number of reasons. It's the late onset of going to the doctor. It's genetic factors. It's, a culmination of many things. But there are lots of resources available, and there's lots of information. And actually, Komen, I was working with Komen over the summer. They have an initiative now going to dispel that high incidence rate of triple negative within the African-American community. They actually have done surveys within 10 cities. And so they came up with 10 cities within the country. Mm-hmm. And so those top 10 cities they've identified. And then from that, they have working groups. And so these working groups have roundtable sessions. And so they're working to address the problem, because we always, we know what the issues are.
Right.
We know what they are. We keep talking about them. I go to conferences. I was in San Francisco last week for a conference. I'm like, okay, we talk about this all the time, but what are we doing?
Right. We know and we talk about cancer in the African American community, but what can we do about it? Monica Ponder, what can we do about it so that we don't feel afraid, but instead we do feel empowered? I mean, for instance, April was just saying, we can't be afraid of the exams that are necessary for us to either have preventative care or, to just have a baseline of where things are so that we can, keep ourselves healthy. What are some of the things we can do that can keep ourselves healthy and hopefully keep cancer at bay when we're a member of the African American community?
Right. So that's that's the million dollar question.
Yeah.
I know someone who would say that's a million dollar biscuit, actually. So I think the first important thing is this conversation and having more of these conversations at home and with people you trust and love. Mm-hmm. And talking about some of the concerns. But number one, it's to build your community of support. If it's your wife, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your sister, brother, mm-hmm. take someone with you when you go to an exam. It's okay with your permission to have them sit in the room with you to take notes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To have a second lens yes. to listen mm-hmm. and even to help you act. So someone that's also hearing the instructions from the provider. Also ask questions and be honest and open if you don't understand the terminology the doctor's using.
Sometimes don't be afraid to
they're,
ask.
They're in and out of rooms, and, yes. and they may inadvertently be speaking in a way that they perceive you to understand. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say, let's stop. I need someone to walk me through this. And many doctors, they have great relationships with nurse practitioners or even local pharmacists, community pharmacists mm-hmm. that can help provide supports even beyond the medical office. I would even say choose a provider that you can feel comfortable with. You have the power to find a provider in your city or in Atlanta has many great physicians mm-hmm. that has that great bedside manner and is accessible. And then I will say, don't let a perceived lack of control keep you from acting. So because you're afraid of what may happen and our minds sometimes go 15 steps ahead.
Yes.
It's okay to do one step. It's okay to breathe.
Right.
It's okay to stop. It's okay to meditate. It's okay to take a walk. It's okay to say, maybe I am fearful.
And that's an important thing. Voice it so that it can be addressed. That's mm-hmm. what you don't have to go home and be worried about that because that affects your health as well. We are talking about cancer in the African-American community here on Your Health Connection. Let's go to a call from Sandy Springs right now. Mardesi, hello. You're on Your Health Connection. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, my husband, I can say this, he goes to the doctor for everything. I mean, everything. If he coughs more than 24 hours, he's going to go to the doctor. But this particular time, my husband went to get his physical. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was 2 years ago. When he addressed the doctor about his problem using the bathroom as far as his urination, the doctor told him, because he requested a prostate exam. Mm-hmm. The doctor told him, don't fish where there aren't any fish. And he told my husband that he did not need that. He was too young. At the time, my husband was 58, going on 59. Last year, at this time, my husband was being treated at Cancer Treatment of America for mm-hmm. prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And how he found out, he had some knee aching. And the doctor, you know, he examined him. And he says, well, let me do some blood tests, and we want to see if there's any alkaline in your blood system. We want to see if you have arthritis, because that's what we need to see. Mm-hmm. Come back maybe some time later. They said, oh, Mr. Duncan, we recognize something in your blood, and we want to do something a little bit more extensive. It might not be anything, but we want you to stick around.
So excuse me for interrupting you, but we have to be careful. Go ahead.
I want to know is mm-hmm. why would the doctor tell me?
Uh-oh, we lost the call. I think her question.
Fish,
oh, there we go.
There isn't any fish.
Okay. We got cut off from you, but I hear you, Mardesi. We're going to take care of your question. I heard your question. The doctor, and Monica, you were just addressing this. You mm-hmm. said, choose a physician you feel comfortable with. And Mardesi and Sandy Springs, I want to just thank you so much for sharing your story about your husband. I realize that's difficult to tell. And that was difficult in the office. And Monica, you said, we got to be comfortable. And if a doctor says something like, don't fish where there are no fish, I don't even understand that. But why? And what should they have perhaps done instead?
So there's a big issue with cultural competence among medical providers. And I have not gone to medical school, but from what I understand from professionals who have, spending time on these public health issues, these people issues, it's few and far between. I think they get about 8 hours of training in that particular topic. So this is an area that is definitely needed for continuing education and training, particularly in Georgia, where you have a lot of rural areas and mm-hmm. maybe people who may not actually live in a community and they may be servicing the hospital, but mm-hmm. not familiar with the patients and the culture.
Right.
So this is a crisis, I think, in the medical profession in that people need to be more empowered to take responsibility, but also clinicians need to understand that the literacy level, most people aren't able to, when there's fear and other things clouding an appointment, really make sense in a way that can challenge or even hold accountable physicians. So there's this kind
sure.
of battle and divide in
well,
terms of
well, we're afraid to speak
patients.
Up. Yeah. I mean, you're yeah. sitting there and the doctor just says something like that. And you know in the moment that, you know, he's not supposed to say that to me. She's not supposed to say that to me. But you don't really feel you can speak up. You feel as if, well, I You know, is it okay for us to get a second opinion? Is Absolutely. Have we offended anybody, Absolutely. April? Is it okay to say, know what, I'm going to go to someone else?
Absolutely. I mean, this is your health. This is you, your body. If you don't feel comfortable, Monica hit the nail on the head. You have to feel comfortable with your healthcare provider. If you don't feel comfortable, find another one. I mean, I know that sounds, that may be easier said than done, but there are resources, out there to help if you need, additional screenings and things. But absolutely, that's unacceptable.
Shay Traylor, what was something that perhaps in that moment, let's guide folks, if you have this kind of moment in the exam room and something is said to you by your doctor that doesn't sync up with your gut, what should we do?
Well, you should tell him.
Yeah.
Because he works for you.
Yes.
And he's there to deliver optimal health care. And if you have a problem and you tell him that problem and he does not want to address it, you say, well, I would feel better if you would just go ahead and do that. And if he refuses, then fire him and find another healthcare professional, because mm-hmm. there's no need to walk away from the doctor still having the same problem that you were having before.
Right.
And not having any answers as to why you have that problem. So, like I said, like she said earlier, there are a lot of competent physicians in the Atlanta area. So just because one says don't fish where there are no fish, if you're not comfortable with that, you need to find another one.
It's okay to find another.
It is okay.
Let's get at some of these resources. You've all mentioned resources. Let's get some of these out in the community right now. I'd love to hear from each of you a website we can all go to so that we can get the information to help us feel more confident in our appointments. We're talking about cancer in the African American community. April is National Minority Health Month, and we are addressing cancer in the African American community here on Your Health Connection. What are some websites we can all jot down? Monica Ponder, what do you often tell people? Where do you send them?
I send them definitely to cdc.gov for general health information.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that most medical institutions are going online, mm-hmm. and they have patient portals where you can get up in the morning and send an email to your doctor or nurse will call you. So also understanding how all the touch points of your provider, so that can be unique, particularly if there is long-term management care.
Sure.
There. So it depends on the situation. I do know that people sometimes will Google concerns, and that's
too wide open. Yes, that's way too wide open.
Definitely steer people to the .govs, the .orgs websites, depending on the issue that you're seeking, but mm-hmm. try not to Google your problems and make sure you call a medical professional and take someone with you that can also provide emotional support.
I think that's a key mm-hmm. thing you're advising us. We're talking about cancer in the African American community. Please call us with your questions, your comments, your experiences. Cancer in the African American community, 404-880-9255. We're also on Twitter at CCRTD. April Belgrave, a website you would recommend for us to go to so that we can learn more, be more empowered, and take more control of our appointment when we show up for cancer screenings?
Yes. Yeah, so the organization I work for, Georgia Corps, we have a website, georgiacorps.org. It's lots of information regarding the organization itself and in cancer. But probably the most effective one in terms of cancer, like diagnosis and treatment options, will be GeorgiaCancerInfo.org. And Georgia is spelled out, GeorgiaCancerInfo.org. And so on this website, you're able to select treatment providers and treatment locations in the state of Georgia. So you can search, say, prostate, and it'll give you a list of centers
right.
in the state who are treating prostate. It'll give you a list of physicians who specialize in that type of cancer. And it encompasses lots of different cancer types.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will be a great resource for the cancer piece.
Absolutely. We're talking about cancer in the African American community. Your calls, your comments, your experiences are welcome. Join the conversation now on Your Health Connection, 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255 with your questions and comments and experiences regarding cancer in the African American community. Shay Traylor, when you're in the community, you are an oncology nurse. You've been out and you've seen so much in your career. Some resources you would recommend?
The three that I mostly recommend are cancercare.org, American Cancer Society, and Live Strong, because those three websites, they're also broken down by diagnosis. Cancercare.org will also offer you resources for financial assistance.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm,
by discipline. Also, if you are a cancer patient and you need resources, you can email me at info@lovingarms.support. We have a very, very comprehensive resource list that we'll be more than happy to email you.
Once again, that email address?
info@lovingarms.support.
Tell us about Loving Arms.
Loving Arms is, it's my baby. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, being an oncology nurse, me and another nurse, we decided that in talking to our patients, that there were a lot of financial difficulties with cancer. When you're diagnosed, you think, oh my God, am I going to die? You don't think about right. the financial aspect mm-hmm. of it when you start living after the diagnosis.
Exactly.
So as we were administering chemotherapy, the patients would tell us about the financial hardships. They had used up all of their sick days. They used up all of their vacation days. They didn't know how they were going to pay their bills because now they had to be off work getting chemotherapy, being sick a couple of days after, and there was no income. Mm-hmm. So we decided to start doing fundraisers to raise money to assist those type of people. And 7 years later, we're helping about 500 people a year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And
that's awesome.
We have a lot of donors, fundraisers, and it's just been amazing.
What is your website for people to receive?
Lovingarms.support.
That's lovely. We're taking your calls regarding cancer in the African American community. What has your experience been? 404-880-9255. Let's go to Tony in Powder Springs. Hello, Tony. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, ladies. Got a quick question. I'm 44 years old, and I've heard that you should get the prostate check as far as at the age of 40, and also I've heard it at the age of 50. With the new technology and everything going on, what is your suggestion of when I really should have to go to get the prostate check?
Great question, Tony. Thanks. When is the best age?
Well, Tony, my husband, when he turned 40, I started trying to encourage him to go and get his test done. I begged and begged. He finally went, and his doctor told him he was too young. Mm-hmm. When my husband turned 45, I started again. I begged and begged. He went. His doctor said he was too young, mm-hmm. that he didn't need to start until 50. My personal opinion, based on what I've seen, when your doctor tells you that, say, we'll just draw some blood. Let's do a PSA. And that should be started between the age of 45 and 50. At 50, you need to start having digital exams.
And that's imperative. Why?
Well, because enlarged prostates are common in black men. It's called benign prostate hypertrophy. And so that needs to be checked because it can easily turn into prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And the incidence of prostate cancer in black men is very high, partially because they don't go get it checked.
And so if we, again, can get to things early, it gives you the advantage of certainly surviving and surviving strong. Cancer in the African-American community is what we're talking about. 404-880-9255. Tony just asked the question, Monica, about best age. Any other advice you have for him?
Yes. Shay mentioned something, and I know we're speaking on the patient level, but I'm the chair of the board for Georgians for a Healthy Future, which was begun. It was began after ACA was passed, Obamacare was passed.
ACA being the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm.
And even though Georgia never fully expanded, there are resources there. So we've taken a lot of incremental steps to make sure patients have an advocate, and they can navigate the system. So when there is an issue, when there is a problem, it's okay to be vocal, and there are people on the ground who actually attack the legislative side of it so that it can be more of a fair healthcare access system for all Georgians. So I will say, too, share your stories. If a lot of great callers have called, so if that is an issue, and if it's something that's pervasive in a county, then that is an organization, Healthy Future Georgia, Georgians for Healthy Future. Their website is healthyfuturegeorgia.org. Share your story and follow them. They do great work, and they work statewide to help make sure patients have access, and it's fair. And it's easy to navigate.
That is a big help. Cancer in the African American community is the topic here on Your Health Connection. Call with your comments, your questions, your experience. 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255 will connect you
to Your Health Connection on WCLK. This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. It's a medical breakthrough. Doctors are prescribing something new to help prevent prostate cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't get it filled at the pharmacy. The answer is as close as your local supermarket. Research shows that a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and other high-fiber foods can protect against prostate cancer and even help survival rates. Side effects include increased energy, lower cholesterol levels, and better overall health. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.